following is a recording for Rodrigo Wright Castro from Maxcom Telecommunications on Thursday, April 23rd, 2015 at 8 a.m. Central. Good morning and welcome to today's Maxcom Telecommunications First Quarter 2015 Earnings Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. We remind you that today's conference is being recorded. If you have any questions or if you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. After this presentation, we will conduct a question and answer session. Before we begin, let me say that information expressed or implied during the conference may include forward-looking statements that involve risk or uncertainty. Words such as estimate, plan, project, believe, expect, anticipate, intend, and similar expressions may identify such forward-looking statements. The company wants to caution listeners that any forward-looking statements in this call or made by the company's management involve risk or uncertainties that may change based on various important factors not under the control of the company. These forward-looking statements represent the company's judgment at this time for the call. The company disclaims, however, any intent or obligation to update this forward-looking statement. It is now my pleasure to turn the conference call over to Mr. Miguel Cabrero, Chief Financial Officer of the company. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our quarterly conference call to discuss Maxcom's operating and financial results for the quarter that ended on March 31st, 2015. Today, here with me on the call are Javier Molinar, Vice Chairman of the Board, Armando Rivero, Legal, Regulatory, and Human Resources Vice President, Emilio Flores, Marketing and Product Vice President, Alejandro Lombardo, Chief Strategy Officer, and Rodrigo Wright, our Head of Investor Relations. This call is being recorded, and a playback will be available later today. Our earnings release, which has already been distributed, is now posted in our website and available for download. As already mentioned, the information expressed or implied during the conference may include forward-looking statements, and these are subject to risks and uncertainties that may cause actual results to differ from statements made today. I leave you with Javier Molinar, Vice Chairman of the Board.
Thank you, Miguel. Good morning, everyone. Before discussing our quarterly results, I would like to comment on the resignation of Enrique Ibarra as CEO of the company. Mr. Ibarra has decided to pursue a new professional endeavor. As we commented on the last call, the transformation process turned out more challenging than previously diagnosed. Under Enrique's guidance, Maxcom has been able to set the necessary technological and operational foundation to enable growth. We'd like to thank Enrique for his valuable contribution, and we wish him all the best in his new professional endeavors. The Board of Directors has approved the appointment of Mr. José Gómez Obregón as the new CEO of Maxcom. José has held various top management positions at leading IT companies such as IBM, Sun Microsystems, Microsoft, and Avaya Communications. He holds a degree in industrial engineering from the Universidad Iberoamericana and a finance diploma from the Instituto Tecnológico Autónomo de México. We are confident José will lead Maxcom in achieving the monetization of its infrastructure investments as well as the successful execution of its business plan pursuing shareholders' value. With that said, let me give you an update of the key initiatives according to our business plan. As of enablers, before talking about the commercial and the retail businesses, let me update you on a few initiatives which are key enablers for our business, such as those related to the network, IT systems, and human resources. On previous calls, we mentioned that we had not only doubled our sales force for the commercial business, but we had also specialized our sales professionals in a specific customer segments. The next step is to professionalize our sales force to make it the best in the industry. This includes the sales, pre-sales, and post-sales teams. To this end, we have launched a professionalization program, which has two main components. First, a certification program that guarantees all our sales professionals are certified on the solutions we offer. Under this program, sales professionals can obtain different certificates levels, which in turn are linked to a higher compensation. And second, a career path where sales professionals can grow in hierarchy and compensation as they consistently achieve the outlined objectives. We are pleased to inform the completion of two strategic technological projects we have previously announced to you. The first one, the three state-of-the-art Class 5 telephone exchanges acquired from Alcatel-Lucent and Genband, which went live this April. And second, the upgrade to our long-distance fiber network that more than doubles our transport capacity to and from the U.S. border. This network upgrade was placed into production this past March. On previous calls, we had mentioned our new IT systems and their associated processes will be fully operational by third quarter of 2015, with partial deliveries before such date. I'm glad to inform as well that we are fully operational with a module enabling our Salesforce relationship management process, which is the first deliverable on the SAP project. We now have a fully automated process from lead management to pre-sales to quote on sale and all the way to delivery. This module is allowing us to reduce time and increase resiliency from the commercial cycle. Finally, let me comment, we are on track on executing the improvements to our network operations center. We have initiated operations in the newly implemented secondary NOC and began the remodeling of our primary NOC. Moreover, we will certify our NOC on ISO 20000, which is the standard for best-in-class IT managed service centers. Such certification will not only be an internal assurance of quality, but it will open doors for selling managed services to large commercial customers in the private and public sectors. Moving to the commercial business, as we already mentioned on the last call, this business is going to be our main growth engine. In the mid-sized businesses, all our efforts here aim to transform Maxcom into the best alternative in Mexico for those customers seeking an integral solution for information technology and communication services. We believe there is a strong need for a one-stop-shop solution. We are now selling and delivering services based on the new products, such as MPLS, Carrier Ethernet, Hosted IP PBX, and Clean Pipes, for mention someone. We had announced to you these products were an effort to catch up with the competition, and that they would be available in the first quarter of 2015. Our product development efforts, however, are now moving to a second wave of already defined products, some of which will differentiate Maxcom in the marketplace. We are now delivering proposals with higher total contract values. In the past, Maxcom was not able to compete for these projects as they required a network capillarity beyond that Maxcom's own network. We are making use of the last-mile agreements with third parties, including the preponderant carrier. These are the agreements we had announced to you on the last call. We have initiated as well the relaunch of the Connected Buildings Program. In years past, Maxcom had a program to methodically sell into buildings already connected with fiber, as well as to actively connect new buildings. Selling into already connected buildings allow us to make a more efficient use of capital, to configure more aggressive offers for customers, and to shorten our delivery times. We expect this program to be fully operational during this second quarter. We're working on a channel program to help us sell in metropolitan areas where Maxcom has network capabilities but not a commercial presence. We expect to generate initial sales on this program during the third quarter of the year. In government, we will focus on the integration of projects for the middle and low layer of the federal government as well as the states and municipalities in which we already have presence. The government team has generated good traction despite its recent inception. We have recently been awarded a contract by the Ministry of Comunicaciones to connect 391 sites in Ciudad Nezahualcóyotl under the Mexico Conectado program. The contract had a total value of nearly 70 million pesos distributed over 36 months. The value and complexity of this project is way beyond any other government project Masco has obtained in its entire history. The implementation is already underway, and we have been delivering all commitments in a timely manner. In addition, we have presented an unsolicited proposal to the Ministry of Comunicaciones for the assignment of another 263 additional sites. We are pending Ministry of Comunicaciones acceptance. We are working very closely with several customers of government in helping them through the design process. It is crucial to be involved in this process before the customer publicizes its requirements for bidding. In our carriers division, as we mentioned on the previous calls, data transfer demand is rapidly growing with no signs of slowing down. Its growth is primarily driven by consumer video demand. We believe there is an opportunity here for Maxcom to monetize the investments made for upgrading its long-distance fiber network. We are actively approaching national and international carriers to offer our transport capacity. We have moved to the proposal phase in some instances, and in others, we are in the final negotiations stages. As we mentioned in our previous call, we will keep selling wholesale bus traffic opportunistically. On this front, a national carrier has awarded us a very important contract for terminating calls. In corporate, we will focus on specific large accounts transitioning revenue from purely voice to a voice and data mix. We will also focus on contact centers where we will leverage our strengths in voice products. We have started to close sales based on our new products, MPLS, carrier Ethernet, data bonding, clean pipes, hosted IP PBX, for mention some of them. And we are growing our pipeline. These sales and prospective sales are not only based on new products, but are helping us to move our revenue mix toward more data. Similar to what we observe in the mid-sized business segments, in the corporate segment we are also starting to propose MPLS projects with extensive capillarity, making us our third-party last-mile agreements. Regarding call centers, we are beginning to gain traction with minimum consumption proposals. Call centers have historically been a volatile source of revenue, giving us traffic one day and taking away the next one. Under the fixed consumption proposals, we intend to reduce revenue volatility from these customers. In the retail business, as we mentioned in our previous call, our efforts are focused on increasing the profitability of our existing clusters. It is important to remark that we will not make investments to expand our retail network footprint until we have a clear understanding of the rules and potential for utilizing the local loop of the preponderant carrier. Progress on the retail business includes the following. This quarter, we observe a 12% reduction on trouble tickets, against those observed on the fourth quarter. Reducing trouble tickets is crucial in our efforts to reduce churn. As we mentioned in our previous call, we are no longer selling single-pay products. As a consequence, by the end of the first quarter, we have acquired more than 10,000 customers with ARPEX of 272 pesos. This is double the increase of the ARPEX of customers acquired during fourth quarter of 14. We continue our upselling and cross-selling campaigns, migrating customers from single play to a double play. Migrated customers have an ARPEX of 279 pesos and representing a 77% increase versus the previous ARPEX. We are working on ways to increase the rate of migration. In our previous call, we have mentioned our goal to reduce our retail sales force and to increase its efficiency. We have concluded such reduction faster than previously announced. We are now at an optimum size, which allows us to reduce sales acquisition cost expenses in a significant amount, while bringing in the same value from new acquisitions as we were doing with a much larger sales force. Regarding our MVNO, we have made sound progress towards the implementation of our new MVNO plans. The negotiations for selecting our new MNO should be completed during the second quarter of 2015, and we have made important progress with candidate MNOs. At the same time, we are in the evaluation and negotiation process with three technological partners to select a platform on which we will manage the MVNO business. Despite that the financial results are not as strong as we would like them to be, we are experiencing a significant amount of commercial activity that will provide an increase in revenue in the quarters to come. I will now turn the floor over to Miguel Cabredo, our CFO.
Thank you, Javier, and good morning to everyone. As we usually do, we will start going over the main points of the balance sheet and the P&L. Starting with the balance sheet, the cash and cash equivalents maintain a solid situation. We finished the quarter with 1,117 million pesos, below of the 1,443 million pesos registered at the end of the past reporting quarter, and also below than the 1,955 million pesos reported at the end of the same period last year. At this point, we want to mention a couple of financial transactions we executed in this quarter. First, we partially unwind the cross-currency swaps we had and obtained $3.4 million in cash of net profit. Later, as we reported to the markets a few weeks ago, we purchased through the open market $14.3 million of our own step-up senior notes at an average price of $74.6 for each $100 principal amount, and canceled these senior notes. As a result of this operation, our total debt reduced from $175.7 million to $161.3 million, improving our leverage ratio and reducing future coupon payments. So, the net cash utilized in both transactions was $7.3 million, while reduction in debt was $14.3 million. In addition, and following conservative financial policies, the company has covered $100 million of principal amount of its senior notes coupon payments up to June 2017 with new cross-currency swaps. Continuing with the review of the financial statement, accounts receivables decreased 105 million pesos on a year-over-year basis, passing from 184 million pesos in the first quarter of last year to 479 million pesos in this reporting quarter. It's important to clarify that a result of the audit process to the financial statements to 2014, as seeking a conservative view of our numbers, the company booked a non-cash item reserve of around 100 million pesos to the provision of rendered services not billed. This adjustment explained the entire variation in this figure. In value-added tax accounts, we see an increase of 96 million pesos on a year-over-year basis, but only 14 million pesos on a sequential basis. The increase in this account derived from the actual level of costs and the capital expenditures we are currently executing. Others on the debtors' account showed a decrease of 23 million pesos, or 23% when compared with the first quarter 2014. Mainly as a result of the compensation of taxes under the ordinary course of business. As a result of the capital expenditures plan executed during 2014 and the first quarter of this year, net fixed assets showed a total increase of 670 million pesos when compared with the same period last year. Moving on to the right side of the balance sheet, account payable increased by 24% when compared to the end of the first quarter 2014 and decreased 96 million pesos sequentially, reaching the balance of 504 million pesos at the end of the present quarter. As we anticipated, during the first quarter of the year, accounts payable diminished when compared to the previous quarter, generating a negative working capital variation in the period. In the account, other long-term liabilities, we see a decrease of 70 million pesos on a year-over-year basis, consequence of the scheduled payments used to repay certain accounts. Sequentially, the reduction was 10 million. The outstanding value of the notes at the end of this quarter is $161.3 million, $14.3 million less than the previous quarter. As we explained before, the company acquired these $14.3 million in the market at a discounted price and canceled this amount of senior notes. In the balance sheet, you may note an increase in the value of the notes of 162 million pesos on a yearly basis, but this increase is consequence of the exchange rate effect that exceeded the effect on the reduction in the debt. Summing up, company's balance sheet has improved with less debt and a healthy cash position. Revenues for the quarter were 626 million pesos, a decrease of 4% when compared with 649 million pesos registered in the first quarter 2014. The most important contribution to this decrease in revenues came from the retail and commercial segments with 22 million pesos and 37 pesos respectively. This decrease in revenues was partially offset by the increase of 48 million pesos in wholesale revenues. In the retail business unit, revenues showed a decrease of 10% on a year-over-year basis and 7% on a sequential basis. Almost all of the negative impact in retail revenues came from voice services. Internet revenues increased during the last 12 months, but they were insufficient to offset the decrease in voice. Retail REUs in service decreased 25,000 units on a year-over-year basis, and on a sequential basis, REUs decreased 15,000 units. Residential ARPU contracted 4% from 152 pesos to 146 pesos on a sequential basis, and on a year-over-year basis, the decrease was 6%. Commercial revenues decreased 20% on a year-over-year basis, but 4% sequentially. As we anticipated in the last conference call, starting on January 1st of this year, the company was not able to charge for national long-distance service to its customers, and this regulatory change represented approximately a loss of 16 million pesos in revenues this quarter, mainly concentrated in the commercial segment. Excluding the long-distance effect, revenues increased when compared with the previous quarter. We expect to continue with this growth trend and to offset the LD effect in the following quarters. Regarding our use, the segment presented an important increase of 23% on a year-over-year basis and 4% sequentially. Public telephony, as we also explained before, showed a decrease on its revenues of 10 million pesos on a sequential basis. During the quarter, the company accelerated the downsizing of this business, disconnecting almost 3,000 phone booths. Regarding the wholesale segment, revenues in this reporting quarter were 248 million pesos, 24% more in comparison with 199 million pesos registered in the same period last year, at almost the same figure of the previous quarter. As we informed in the last call, revenues in this segment will maintain its current level, and we reiterate this is an opportunistic business for Maxcom and will continue participating in it as long as the conditions in the market allow us. Regarding cost, network operation costs decreased 10 million or 3% on a year-over-year basis, despite the fact that during this period wholesale traffic increased substantially. On the other hand, the elimination of the interconnection rates with Telmex and Telcel improved termination costs. On a sequential basis, costs are in the same range, just 2% above last quarter. Technical expenses amounted 43 million pesos in this reporting quarter, in the same range of the previous quarter. Gross profit margin for the quarter was 50%, equivalent to 310 million pesos, below the 322 million pesos of the same period last year. On a sequential basis, gross profit also decreased 12 million. SG&A expenses were 188 million pesos, 26 million above the same period last year. This growth is due to the increase of payroll expenses related to the reinforcement of management teams that took place during 2014. On a sequential basis, expenses remain flat. EBITDA of the quarter was 112 million pesos, 38 million pesos lesser than the EBITDA reported in the first quarter 2014. When compared with the previous quarter, EBITDA decreased 33 million pesos or 23%. EBITDA this quarter has been affected by the elimination of the national long distance service, but it is in line with our previous estimations and internal budget. Even though in the second quarter impact of long distance will be larger, our expectation is to increase EBITDA. Depreciation charges reached 107 million pesos at the end of the quarter, 15 million pesos more than the number recorded in the same period of 2014. Operating loss of the quarter was 16 million pesos below the 45 million pesos of operating profit reported in the first quarter last year. Regarding financial results on a year-over-year basis, interest expenses remained in the same level of 40 million pesos per quarter. In this quarter, and as a non-recurring event, the company booked positive net valuation of 45 million pesos as a result of the profit made with the purchase and cancellation of 14.3 million pesos of senior notes. Finally, exchange rate provision during the quarter was 46 million pesos, which compared with 10 million pesos in the same period last year. Net result for the quarter was a loss of 58 million pesos. Finally, we recorded a positive integral result of 11 million pesos due to the positive mark-to-market of the swaps the company held in the quarter. This is all for this part of the call. Thank you for your time, and I hand the call to the operator for the Q&A session. Operator, please.
Thank you. At this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touch-tone phones now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, just press star 2. Again, to ask a question, please press star 1 now. And our first question comes from Jamie Nicholson from Credit Suisse.
Hi, thanks so much for the call. I was wondering, given your comments about the more challenging transformation of the company, but also some of your optimism on the government projects, are you updating your guidance at all? Last quarter conference call, you gave fiscal year guidance showing growth, EBITDA growing 7%, and also an ending cash balance of 850 million. Pesos. Can you give us an update on what you're now expecting for the full year revenues, EBITDA, and ending cash balance? Thanks.
Jamie, no, we are not changing our guidance for the entire year. As I mentioned in my part of the call, the result of this quarter was fully anticipated. The extensive commercial activity that Javier already explained will start to show the results in the following quarters, not in this quarter, and we suffered this quarter the effect of the reduction in the national LD revenues. So in conclusion, the guidance for this year is the same.
Okay, so that's 2.7 billion revenue and 620 for EBITDA?
You're right, 850 million pesos of cash at the end of the year and around $50 million of capital expenditures.
Okay, thanks. And then just a detailed question. I think you mentioned 161 million of bonds, senior notes outstanding, and I'm just wondering how that fits with the $2.089 billion peso senior notes that you show on your balance sheet. That looks like it's around $137 million. So what's the difference there?
Jamie, according to IFRS, you are forced to show your and to represent in your financial statements the debt as a fair value, not as a face value. When we issued the new debt in 2013, we reflect this the debt with a fair value calculation that our auditors and advisors made at this moment, and we are reflecting this number every quarter. This number is being adjusted every quarter, and it should reach the face value at the end of the life of the debt.
Okay, but the current face value outstanding is the 161 after the debt buyback, right?
You're right.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thanks for the call.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Jacob Steinfeld from J.P. Morgan.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for the call. I think one of my questions was already asked, but I was wondering if you could provide a little bit more color in the expected evolution of EBITDA this year to reach your guidance.
Jacob, our expectation is to increase in the next quarter from 10% to 15% the EBITDA, and the challenge is to increase the EBITDA in the third quarter again a double digit number. With this trend, we expect to achieve the guidance that we announced to the market in the last conference call. Basically, it's what can I say at this moment.
So the 10 to 15 is a sequential increase?
Yeah, will be a sequential increase across all the remaining three quarters that we have in this year.
Okay, and that's driven by some of the new contracts you've entered into or being able to monetize your new investments, or what are some of the key drivers for that?
Basically, our key driver is the commercial segment. As we explained in the last conference call and this conference call, we increased substantially the commercial activity, and new contracts should start to give us new revenues and important new revenues in this segment, and we will monetize this effort, increasing revenues and EBITDA.
Right. And then lastly, do you plan, given you'll still you're expecting to have a strong liquidity position at the end of the year, do you plan to continue to consider further open market purchases?
At this moment, we don't have any plan to acquire more debt, but as you was informed, if we do that, the market will be immediately informed. But at this moment, we don't have any plan to do it again.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Andres Cuello from Scotiabank.
Yes, thank you for taking my question. I was wondering, you were just mentioning about potential agreement with the incumbent regarding the last mile unbundling. So if you, I was wondering if you can give us an update regarding where you are now in terms of that negotiating process with Telmex. I understand some of the public offers are already out, and that you are currently negotiating, but I'm not sure if the full unbundling offer is already out there. So if you can just give us an update on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Andres. This is Javier Molina. Well, yes, as you mentioned, the offers are already out. When we mentioned that we are negotiating, we are mainly focusing our efforts and conversations with Telmex in being co-ubicated with them. So I don't know the state of the conversations of some of our competitors and colleagues on the market, but we are pretty advanced in terms of taking advantage of this new regulatory environment that we are facing. So for the purposes of Maxcom, as a matter of fact, we are already taking advantage of some of the capillarity of Telmex, and some of our proposals to mainly focus on the MPLS proposals that we already pitched are based on the last mile access that Telmex is providing us.
Okay, thank you. And just one final question. Of course, your net debt to EBITDA ratio rose to 2.38 times, according to your press release. Last year, you closed the first quarter at 0.70, so that means that, you know, the leverage ratio increased very significantly. So I was just wondering, you know, if you may be thinking in perhaps issuing some shares, perhaps a follow-on in terms of a new, you know, share issuance to the market, whether you are, you know, probably considering that possibility, or you're expecting, you know, the financial situation to improve. Of course, you're saying that you're reiterating guidance in terms of EBITDA growth. But I was just wondering if you know, if, you know, net debt keeps increasing, and I understand that you are guiding to burn some cash this year. I understand that you will be burning, you know, more than, or approximately 500 million pesos, correct me if I'm wrong. So, you know, under that scenario, are you maybe exploring some capital options? Thank you.
Thank you, Andres. No, we're not entertaining that idea as we speak. As you know, and as we announced, we burned a significant amount of cash in a repurchase of our debt. Of course, we made that, taking into consideration that the biannual CapEx program that we announced last year was a compelling, almost $150 million of CapEx for the 2 years. Some of those investments, of course, are not going to be repeated in 2016. I mean, all the stack of IT, the expenditures of the re-illumination of our fiber optics long-haul routes, our MPLS, our three state-of-the-art Class 5 switches, and that kind of things that, believe me, cost a lot of money, are not going to be expenditures again in 2016. So the CapEx is gonna suffer a significant diminished within the forthcoming years, and we are of course expecting that the EBITDA is gonna experience a significant increase in the years forthcoming. So, in a nutshell, we are not entertaining at this time any idea of a follow-on or issue new shares.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Again, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your phones now. Our next question comes from Ray Zucro from SWS Management.
Hi, yes, yeah. Thank you very much for the call. Actually, two of my questions have already been answered, but just let me ask you from a big picture point of view. You know, as you know, I've been following the company for quite a while, and I was quite excited when you guys took over management, and I was expecting to really see a big turnaround and to see the company turn around very quickly. Have you guys been overall happy with how the company has performed since you've taken over?
Hi, Ray. That's a tough one. No, of course we're not happy with the results that we're experiencing. As we have been mentioning repeatedly times, we find a company in a much larger deterioration stage than the ones that we can identify within the due diligence. That deterioration don't mean that we need to invest much more money than we originally planned. But the deterioration was, unfortunately, all across the company. I mean, the morale of the personnel was not good. The assessment of the technical capabilities of some of the personnel was not the ones that we are seeking for. Let's say the beauty contest that we took in place for the acquisition of a significant amount of new equipment into the company take longer than we provide, and probably the most important thing is that in the middle of the let's say rebound of the turnaround of the company, a totally new regulatory environment came into the equation. And some of the investments that we have originally planned, of course, as a matter of common sense, have been stopped. an example of this is the unbundling of the local loop. It's not already in place, and of course, in our opinion, and not being humbling, it's not a smart thing to start investment in increasing your footprint in the retail business if you don't know the final results of the regulation of the unbundling of the local loop. So a mix of all of these aspects make a compound of a most challenging turnaround of a company. I can share with you that I am, of course, not happy with the results during the past 18 months, but I am very optimistic in the future of the company. We are working very hard. We already put in place a number of the initiatives that we announced to you guys in the last calls, and we think that we are now in the position to start really showing to the market that the turnaround is possible, and the opportunities in the marketplace for a company like Mascom are still there, and we are going to take advantage of those.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Roberto Vasquez from LW Investment Management.
Hello. Good morning. Can you please provide some additional color on the decrease on the total number of customers and the decrease in accounts receivable from customers, net of allowance?
Yes, let me try to explain that, this, Roberto. We try to address this point, but I'm going to explain in a larger way. Mainly in the retail part of the business, the company was used to sell and to focus the efforts in volume of RGUs that we provide into the company. We changed totally that kind of a strategy, and we decided to diminish the number of RGUs, but instead of that, add customers with a much, much larger value as compared to the ones that the company has been provided in the past years. An example of that is what we mentioned in the call. If you take into consideration that we bring into the company more than 10,000 customers in the retail division this quarter, but the ARPEC of these customers is more than double the one that we provide the last quarter, you can make your math, and I can share with you that for the first time in many, many, many months, March was a 1 month in which we have net additions of more value than the previous quarters. I'm not talking about RGUs because we are now selling just bundles. We're not selling individual RGUs anymore, and we are not seeking for continued selling RGUs in the future. I mean, the results of the bundling of new packages and the new portfolio of products in the retail division has proved a significant increase in the quality of our customers. We have been also changing the acceptance policies regarding credit. So we think, and we're finally experiencing in March, that net additions of value in the retail divisions are going to be a constant for the foreseeable future. That's the main explanation of the reduction on RGUs. It's a strategy that we put in place, and it's paying us in our humble opinion.
Okay, regarding the accounts receivable for customers, on which you have at the end of December 667 million pesos, and now you have 479 million pesos. Are we talking here of using the allowance for non-recoverable accounts, or is just simply just a reflection of the decrease, and then we will go back to a higher level?
Roberto, as I mentioned in the call, every year we review our numbers according to the new specification of the IFRS. In this industry, it's very common to make an estimation of revenues, of income, considering that the billing cycles do not go from the first day to the last day of each month. In fact, all of our cycle, billing cycles finish in some point of each month, and we need to estimate the income of the rendered services but not billed in that period. By the end of the year, we review the methodology that we had, and according to the new regulations and new estimations, we made a change in the estimation of this number of rendered service not billed, and we decided to adjust it. That simple as that. And the adjustment impacts in the accounts receivable, but it is a non-cash item and does not change the overview of the company.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Again, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your phones now. Our next question comes from Martin Lara from Actinver.
Hi, good morning. Could you please give us your guidance in terms of RGUs for 2015?
Martin, at this moment I don't have the number. I promise to call you during the day to give you the number.
Hi, Martin, this is Javier. We don't have the number because we're making a lot of adjustments in the commercial part of the business. As we mentioned in the call, the company was in the past just focused on voice products. So we are changing that framework for the future, as we already explained, and we are making a totally different kind of a forecasting for commercial business, taking into consideration that we are now making a compelling offer to those commercial businesses. When I say compelling, is that we are providing them the voice services, of course, in which Maxim is leader in technology and products, but we are adding to them a much more compelling a proposition, taking into consideration data, taking into consideration MPLS networks, and taking into consideration unified communications. So the main reason because we are reviewing our RGUs figure for the last of the year is that we are shifting the company to being a IT and telecommunications provider as opposed to a voice or telecommunications provider.
Okay, thank you, Javier. And could you please give us an update on the MVNO business?
Well, yes, as I mentioned in the call, we are in a final stages of our negotiations and conversations with the potential MNOs that are pitching us the opportunity for relaunching our actual business. We have the commitment with our board to have these conversations finalized and sign an agreement during this quarter. Of course, if such things happen before or in the moment that it happened, we will announce to the market whatever MNO decision we could take. If we continue with Movistar, we will announce that we have a new contract with them, and the conditions of that contract are going to be significantly better for Maxcom than the ones that we have as we speak. Or if we decided to go with another MNO, we will announce the change of the actual MNO in addition with the plan of shifting all our actual customers from the actual MNO to the new one.
Okay, thank you very much, Javier.
On the contrary, Martin.
Thank you. Again, if anyone would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your phones now. And at this time, I'm showing no further questions. Thank you, everyone, for participating today on the Maxcom Telecommunications First Quarter 2015 Earnings Conference Call. This call has concluded. You may now disconnect.